Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. It's a lovely Tuesday afternoon in Austin, Tejas, D'Anthony. And we've got a guest who looks like she's been walking 6th Street for the last 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Kelsey Sharon's here. How are you, Kelsey?
Pretty fantastic. How are you?
Really good. You look like an Austinite.
I mean, I'm just Canadian, so I don't know how that even comes close to an Austinite, but I'll take it.
So down here, because Dan and I just moved here like 2 years ago.
Flat-brimmed hats and tattoos.
Correct.
That's it.
Nailed it.
Here, yeah.
Flat-brimmed hats, tattoos. I mean, and do you have 2 gold chains? Are you 2 chains?
I'm a jeweler, homie. I'm rocking gold 24/7.
Yeah. Whoa. What kind of watch is that?
It's just an Apple Watch.
Oh, it's just... I was expecting something
mean?
Grandiose.
No, but a custom band. Like, it's Brass and Unity is the name of the company.
Okay.
They make a bunch of
stuff. We make stuff out of old bullets and donate money to help veterans and first responders. So that's my shtick.
That's awesome. And you make watch bands for Apples as well?
We're working on this. This one's not mine, but that's the plan at some point is to make some fancy ass gear.
And then since you had your hand up like that, is that henna? Is that a real tattoo on your hand?
Oh, Dan, I mean, come on. Of course it's not henna. I mean, I'm as real as it gets.
I didn't know how Rihanna we were going today. So Giorgio is about to pipe in.
Yeah. Is that stick and poke?
I feel like Giorgio, this is your dream girl right here.
Stick and poke. What, like a prison tattoo?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not that popular. Ghetto. It's like the grunge movement again. It's like get a stick and poke. It's like the cool thing to do.
Yeah, go get fucking hepatitis. It's super cool to have hepatitis. Yeah. No. Fuck that. Not doing that.
I'm into it. I think it looks dope, dude. You don't see it very often. You don't see tattoos on the hand.
That's the point.
How does that feel?
I mean, the bottom of my feet were worse. My ears were okay. These ones were, I would call, middle of the lane. Little less painful.
Okay. And you have tattoos on the bottom of your feet?
Yeah.
I don't believe I've ever seen that.
I don't know how you can respond incredulously with yeah, like that's a normal thing.
It's definitely not a normal thing.
I mean, the crowds that I run and everyone's tattooed from the neck down, I feel plain and boring. Like, considering how much space I have open, like, it just feels normal to me at this point.
Yeah, so you're neck to nuts, essentially, in tats, it looks like, I'm assuming, right? Full back tat?
No, not yet. That's the thing. I'm only sides, right arm, some on the back, on the palms and the feet, on the ears.
I feel as a Canadian... you probably should get a portrait of Sir Dave Coulier on the back.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe over...
I'm doing everything... No, we're not talking about Canada in a positive fashion right now. I'm not doing anything, putting anything Canadian on me right now.
You're not going to speak ill of Dave Coulier on the show.
No one is going to say ill of Sir Dave Coulier on here.
I would never.
You know the Alanis Morissette album, which was arguably Canada's biggest album of all time. That song was about Dave Coulier going down on you in a theater. Yeah. She was blowing Dave Coulier. Dead serious?
I think that song is...
No, I just love this.
I think it's less about her being mad at Dave Coulier and more about her being embarrassed that she sucked Dave Coulier's dick in a movie theater.
You know what's funny? So she wouldn't deny it in the documentary on HBO that I just saw. She just said, everybody has their guesses. And it was like, oh, you blew Dave Coulier. And then he probably gave you like a Bullwinkle impression afterwards. Ooh.
That's the noise he makes when he comes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Everybody knows that. And he does the fingers for the horns too.
I'm done. Ooh, I'm done coming.
That's how you know he's getting ready to shoot. His hands go up. Except for it's hands up. I'm going to shoot. Instead of hands up. That's a good... segue into the New York subway shoot.
or the worst segue we've ever done on this show. You tune in for this, you know what you're getting. There was a shooting in Brooklyn at a subway. This was a crazy story. So the guy was possibly disguised as an MTA worker, and he injured 29 people, 10 were shot. How many are in critical, Delco?
I don't know critical, but 16 additional people were injured. So it's like 26 total.
Five in critical condition.
And then another 16 people were injured. And it's my understanding is there was some kind of either explosive or incendiary device and then that went off, and then multiple other ones that did not go off. So this was like straight up terrorism.
So what he did was he set off a smoke grenade and then opened fire in the subway car that he was in. They found a jammed Glock and two extended ammo magazines that were later recovered at the scene.
That's not a great advertisement for Glock. As a matter of fact, it's kind of difficult to jam a Glock in the first place.
That's what I was just about to ask you. How hard is it?
It's not easy.
Okay. What causes it? Because I feel like this is the second time.
There's a bunch of different types of jams. I mean, he got some shots off, so it could be a stovepipe where the shell casing gets stuck vertically inside of the ejection port, so it won't cycle. It could be a failure to feed, so the little arm in there that pushes the next round in didn't work properly. Could be a bunch of different things. There wasn't enough powder in the round, so it didn't push the slide back far enough to grab for the little hook thing to grab it. I don't know, but either way,
Dan,
it's user error for sure when it's a Glock.
Go ahead, Kelsey.
I was just going to say, Dan, you mentioned there that they found multiple other devices. Is that confirmed that he's attached to any sort of cell? Has anybody taken any responsibility for that?
Not that I've heard of. I just see the report on the New York Post that says there was other devices found that were unexploded or undetonated. I don't know how they phrased it exactly, but yeah, we'll see.
I mean, wondering if anybody has gone and taken responsibility for that yet, because it sounds like if there was more attached to that, there have to be a lot more individuals.
Yeah, right now it appears as if it was just one guy. Did they catch this guy yet? Do we know? Is he still out?
No, he's still on the lam.
Okay.
Is what I understand. I don't know where the fuck you go to get out of a subway. Right? There's cameras everywhere in New York.
Yeah. The commissioner did say, though, that they are investigating this as an act of terror. So
from the pictures I've seen, quite a few of the people that were sitting or lying on the ground are Asian. And there's been quite a lot, and especially in New York, of black on Asian crime. But I can't figure out why those two groups might be beefing, or why crazy people. Maybe it's just some lunatic who thinks that random Asians are responsible for COVID, which is the dumbest thing that you could possibly believe as a human being.
Right.
Currently, you know what I mean? They are looking.
People have thought dumber ideas.
As of 23 minutes ago, they are looking for a U-Haul with a Arizona license plate.
Okay, and then if you're out there, and this is live, the suspect is described as a black male, approximately 5 feet 5 inches, with a heavy build. Still on the loose. Heavy build, huh? What is that? What does that entail? Is that somebody who's fat? Are we calling those heavy builds now? Or is he fucking jacked? Like, which is it? Because that's kind of a weird way to describe a human as a heavy build. At 5'5"?
5'5", fat.
Yeah.
Just say that. Fat, man.
Just say he's a 5'5" fat man.
Why tiptoe around it? That's we don't have time for this shit. For me to have to put whatever your bullshit pussy words are through a reality filter. Oh, you meant some fucking 5'5" fat fuck is what you meant? Thanks, jackass.
But now they don't have to retract it. At no point will they need to retract it, because they were politically correct from the start, Dan.
Fuck them.
Yeah. I mean, at what point do we just start calling him fun size? You know, it's a 5'5" black man. Super fun size. If you get one of these in your Halloween bag, you're going to be full all night. Like, what the fuck, bro?
I don't like those fun size candy bars. That's bullshit. That's pussy bullshit.
eat the whole goddamn candy bar.
Every Halloween, we go. Not only do we get full size candy bars, but we get the family size candy bar and give one to each child.
Yeah.
Because this is America and you deserve diabetes.
Yes, you deserve it immediately.
You're a parent's nightmare, man. You're a parent's nightmare.
Don't give a fuck.
No, it's their job. Put the candy bar down.
Yeah.
So they said they removed the jam gun, extended magazines, a hatchet.
Oh,
that's a fun thing.
The jam probably came from some shitty aftermarket extended magazine then. Like the spring in the bottom of the magazine probably didn't feed the round in correctly. That'd be my guess.
A hatchet's a fun thing. A can of pepper spray, two gas canisters.
I thought you were going to say a can of beans, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because of all those stupid memes on the internet about baked beans and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I just imagine a dude with a Batman utility belt, and there's like a can of fucking Bush's baked beans on there.
Oh, hang on.
And he's looking at the dog. He's like, shh, keep the secret.
Keep the secret. I'm not done yet.
Oh,
two gas canisters, a bag full of fireworks.
Well,
what was he going to do with the fireworks?
He was going to celebrate after.
Yeah.
It sounds like he just cleaned out everything in his apartment and his buddies and was just like, all right.
Or he just went to some fucking bodega. It's like, hey, what all do you have in here that sets on fire? I want all of it.
They also have they found another satchel holding what appears to be BB pellets at the scene.
Now, that is more than likely something that he was going to use to make an improvised explosive device.
Okay.
Like you.
That makes sense.
You take something like that, you can just put it, you can take all those balls, put it inside a tennis ball, or put it inside of something. You can even wrap it in clay and then put it inside of an explosive device with a shape charge, and it makes claymore, basically.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also said that there was several undetonated devices found at the station, and there are no active explosive devices at this time. however, the images, which we will not show, are pretty fucking gruesome here. New York Post gives zero fucks, though. I mean, they're showing all the things.
I mean, it's their website. They can do what they want.
I guess
and they
so,
already,
man.
They already know that Twitter is going to ban whatever they print anyways, like the Hunter Biden laptop. So what difference does it make,
man? Including the guy who shot the gun, he hobbled on the fucking thing. Jesus Christ, man. This is a crazy story.
So, I mean, does it say what else happened? Did he retreat after his gun jammed? Is that what happened?
Yeah. So they said if the gun didn't jam, they said he could have, you know, killed a ton of people, but they were lucky that jammed, and by that point everybody had exited, started screaming and running, obviously. But the odd thing, and I'm looking at these pictures, is Dan, you were correct. There, it appears to be all Asian. I don't
know. Yeah, but that's also depending on what part of town you're in New York.
Right.
Could be just a normal thing, but it seems kind of suspicious, to be honest.
Yeah. Not really sure why here, but the footage from this is fucking pure chaos. Mm-hmm. You don't have any shit like this in Canada, though, Kelsey.
Well, I mean, we've had small things. I know, like, a couple years ago, they found an IED up in, like, North Surrey area. We do have a lot of gang murders, a lot of gang issues that are getting really, really aggressive and really out of hand.
What, but in I'm sorry. What sort of gangs?
Yeah, what sort of gangs are up in Canada?
Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
No. Why would we know about that?
Well, why would you? I mean, world news, homie. I don't know. I'm just trying to, like, this is why I'm here, because Canada doesn't allow anything out. You're letting me out now for, like, a second. Yeah, we got some issues. We got some problems. We're just
French?
As sketchy.
Yeah, do they speak? Are they French speaking gang members? Or are they just normal?
No, we're on the West Coast. So we get, we have more Asian gangs. We have Indian gangs. We have a lot of issues. HA kind of stay out of it for the most part. We have a massive population coming in from Asia that is coming into Surrey, which is an area where there is a lot of East Asian is the right, I think, how you say it. There's a lot of different cultures there, and it's an area where there's a lot of fighting. I actually had a gang, RCMP gang member task unit come on and talk to me about it, and I was kind of dumbfounded at the amount of gangs we have just popping off. In a tiny area.
So do they just, like, is it like Letterkenny, where they meet in a parking lot and then one individual from each group goes and has a fist fight and then that's it? Or how's it work?
No, I wish it was like Letterkenny. Last time there was something major, we have found a couple bodies near our house. There was a BMW with the rival gang member's girlfriend burned up behind my husband's office. Like, there's some stuff.
What'd you guys do with the bodies?
I don't know.
No, I mean, like, I thought you guys may have kept them.
Yeah, I thought you guys may have kept them just as, like, keepsake or something. You let those go?
I didn't personally find them. The RCMP found them, the IHIT team, but they knew it's targeted. It's all targeted stuff. So it's not like, we don't have subways where people are rolling in on mass amounts in the area I live in. I don't live in the city. I stay out of it. They have the SkyTrain. There's some stabs. We got a lot of stabbings going on there for a little bit. Just that kind of stuff. But explosives and things like this, this is the next level. I'm glad we don't have that.
Gotcha. So Drake, when he raps about being from a dangerous place, is correct.
No, he's from Brampton. Toronto's isn't sketchy. He?
Yeah, he's from Ontario. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's, like, from Brampton. It's like a fucking suburb of Toronto, basically.
Yeah, it's a suburb of Toronto.
No, it's not dangerous.
Not dangerous there, huh?
No.
Wheelchair Jimmy wasn't fucking ducking gunfire to get to school every day.
Yeah, how's the handicap parking there? Was that what Wheelchair Jimmy was using up there?
I don't know, man. All I know is he's from the East Coast of Canada. I'm born and raised there. I don't go there. There's nothing there for me that is, like, loving. It's just concrete. Mm. It's just concrete. I have no use for concrete. I live on the West Coast. I stay by the trees, the ocean, quiet.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Our the chat is just lighting Canada up right now.
Oh yeah, just absolutely destroying Canada.
Do they use maple?
I want to know.
Do they use maple syrup to dust for fingerprints?
Obviously.
Who said that?
What else would you use it for?
That was AJ Gamble. Yeah, that's funny.
Why do you still live there?
It's a good fucking question.
I mean, for real. Like, so I've been there before, and. Man, it was probably 10 years ago. I think it was the last time I went there. The housing prices were fucking insane. I mean, they were higher than Austin. And
where did you go?
Vancouver?
Yeah, so that's where I am. And I can tell you right now, it's the housing market's so crazy that the same house I was in is we bought for like $800,000 is worth over $2 million now.
Yeah.
The 7 years.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
It's bananas. Nobody can afford to live in those houses, and they all have like 3 jobs apiece. I told this story on one of these shows. Who knows how many we've done at this point, but the cab driver had owned 2 Tim Hortons. And
when we drove by,
he told me to go to Tim Hortons. And I was like, why is this so important? He goes, well, I own them. And I'm like, why are you driving a cab? And he was like, well, my house is $1.8 million. And it was probably 1,800 square feet. I mean, it wasn't big. He drove by the house.
3,200. That's it. And you're in a cul-de-sac. You don't have land. It's not like that. I mean, you go into you go anything over, I think, an acre, and you're looking at least for just the plain acre, $1.5 million right now. Mm-hmm. But that's our dollars, you know. Mm. But no, we're here because we have family here, and my husband has a company here, and our company is based here. And I fought for this country, and I would like to see it go back to the country I fought for. So I'm trying my best to stay here and not be one of the people that just bounces when it gets difficult. Because if we all did that, then we would be China. So I'm trying to stick it out here and try to make some change here so that we can hopefully have the country I loved back.
That's awesome. Were you military up in Canada?
Yeah, I was.
You served? What'd you do?
I was a M777 artillery gunner.
Oh, shit. All right.
No, yeah. What's that mean?
Yeah.
I shot 155 millimeter howitzers, and they landed on stuff.
She killed a ton of people, dude, is what we're hearing. That's what I'm hearing out of your mouth. You've killed a ton of people up in Canada. All the bodies are hidden, and it's totally fine. How many people? What's your kill count? What are we at for you? A girl like you, 280, 290? How many people you killed?
I fucking don't know. Listen, when we were in Canada and we were doing training exercises, we would have these discussions about artillery and how much does it damage. And then we would actually deploy. And then I remember they'd be like, we're shooting to help Americans. So just shoot. That's just true. You don't think about it, man. You just fire the round and you're here to aim. You're here to help. You just don't land on people that you don't want to land on, and you're good to go.
You fire the round. And that's the last thing that Alec Baldwin said to that first AD. You fire the round because we're here to shoot. We're here to shoot
people. We're here to shoot.
So what's somebody's up? Getting shot.
Well, that was good.
Since we're on the subject, let's go ahead and get you to give us some background on your military history and how you transitioned into the job you're in now and some of the things you did to get from point A to point B.
So I joined the military as one high schooler does right out when I was 18. And I met a lady on a bus. Legitimately, this isn't a joke. I met a lady on a bus. She was old, more like must have been Vietnam, that type of era, possibly World War II with the age that she was. And she was just amazing. And for whatever reason, she left an imprint on me. I got off the bus that day and quit college because it wasn't working out for me. And I went the route of the military. I didn't have any military family in the background at all. I never shot guns, didn't do any killing, didn't know how to shoot a gun. It was lovely. So I joined, I went in, I ended up going artillery, which was a great decision. I wanted to be infantry, as many do when the war is popping off. They just want to go run and gun. So I went to artillery. They said that was the best for my size. And
are you bite size? Because you're not fun size. You're probably bite size then, right?
I'm 5 foot.
Yeah.
So we're
bite size.
We're pocket person. Yeah. So it felt right to be the same amount weight as the rounds I was firing. It makes sense. And then I got posted to a French unit, which was ironic when you said that, and deployed with them in April to September of 2009. So we went with them, went out, and we did some support for a FOB called FOB Ramrod. So an American FOB. And then the rest of the regiment went to Canadians. And then I got borrowed by the British and went and did an operation with them that went sideways and subsequently ended up getting medically retired due to PTSD in 2011.
Holy shit. Yeah, I'm not even marveling at your service. Just the fact that you use ironic in a sentence with Alanis Morissette, being from Canada. I mean, that's too much. That's too much of a pun that I can't really handle.
No, so you have to take it.
After 2011, what'd you do?
So I went through bouts of suicidal, just that whole gamut. The military didn't transition well. We're no different than you guys when it comes to transition. We don't prepare people. We don't have those conversations. We don't give support systems. We say, get the fuck out. And so when you're useless, that's what happens. And so they did that. I went around 6 months of just trying to, stay alive, if I'm being completely honest with you. And in 2015, my doctor suggested art therapy. And at that point, the government and the military put me on about 10 different pharmaceutical drugs and was releasing me and kind of going through this, transition period of not knowing what the fuck to do with my life. I was 19 when they said I was done. So, you're a child. And I started building jewelry on the kitchen table with a pipe cutter, a drill, and a hammer. And I called up some old friends that were snipers and said, I would like some spent casings, please. And so they would go to the range, fire off some rounds for me, the 50 cals, and send me casings. And then I would take them and start building things on the kitchen table. And I started to realize that I didn't feel suicidal that day. And I felt like, I could get out of bed. I could do this. And then I wanted to find a way, because that's when the phone calls started happening. They'd be like, hey, so-and-so killed themselves. Click, hey, so-and-so killed themselves. And I was getting really frustrated and angry, because at what point could I do something about it? And just like many people do, if you don't know what to do, you either sit there and say, I don't know what to do, and stay in that. Or if you're kind of like me and many others in the veteran community, for most part, I was like, I need to fix it. So I need to find a way to fix it. And jewelry was not a natural transition. I was a fighter my whole life and a motocross racer. And I didn't really formulate the idea of jewelry being in my repertoire, but it was working and people started buying them. Then I started kicking down doors. Then I met somebody who put me on Ellen, who then put me on some celebrities. Then I met Kevin Hart. And then the brand.
You guys are the same height, right?
No, yeah, we are.
You definitely see eye to eye with
taller.
Kevin Hart.
I think she's taller.
Only in heels. Dude, trust me, I have a photo I'll send.
Yeah.
And he gave me one of my best pieces of advice, though, if I'm being honest with you. He said, at the time it was called Her Wearables, and I wasn't trying to make it a company. It was helping me. And he said, if you want people, dudes, to wear this, you need to make it unisex. So we went home, he tweeted it out. We changed the name of the company, we incorporated. And then we've been building products now with old casings and stainless steel and all different types of things, sunglasses with casings. And then we donate 20% of the net proceeds. And in that, I've been able to do over 500,000, work with a lot of different people, help us support a lot of different charities. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help. I wanted my friends to stop killing themselves. And I wanted people to start taking mental health seriously. So for 6 years, I've been screaming about mental health and suicide and using the brand and the platform. And now we have a podcast called the Brass and Unity Podcast, where we talk to, I mean, Dan, you've been on, we talk to people like you, we talk to Tier One, we talk to actors and all of that. And we talk about mental health in a normal conversation like this. So that's kind of me and what I do now and why I do what I do and why I'm as loud and aggressive and forward about what I do, because I want our friends and our community to thrive and I want them to feel like they're not alone.
Man, that's what a crazy life you've had. By the way, I have a similar Kevin Hart experience.
Tell me.
You wore heels?
I did. I wore heels around him, and yeah. I was taller. I have the photos to prove it. No, years and years ago, we were at an audition together, and he was the one that actually convinced me to write. And he was like, look, we get stuck in this fucking, it was an independent movie, neither of us got it. And we get stuck in this thing, and they were like, hey, sorry, we're way behind. It's going to be like an hour, hour and a half. And it was just the two of us hanging out. And he was like, look, you got to write, you got to do shit, you got to keep moving and everything else. He's an unbelievably positive person to be around. And it's weird the way he talks to you, because back then he wasn't famous or anything else, but he was writing at the time and I didn't know it. But he's such a positive person that after sitting with him for a while, you actually believe you can do these things, where you're like, oh yeah, fuck. And he's very, very bright. So to hear that is crazy for jewelry.
It's weird because, again, like I was an athlete that I wore sweatpants, tearaways, and had hair about this long. I'm waiting for the jokes, so feel free. It wasn't the ideal thing for me. I was supposed to be a stay-at-home mom. I was supposed to get out of the military, get married, have some babies, and be happy with that. But I'm never happy sitting still, and I'm never happy not helping someone. And he just said, listen, you got to make it unisex. And so we literally changed the name very quickly after that. And that's when things started to really, really, really pop for me. And then I realized I'm just loud and I can talk. So why not a podcast? And then we rolled with that. And that's kind of turned into its own animal. And it's allowed us to reach, you know, a lot of people and help a lot of individuals. And if you give people a moment to realize that they aren't the only one to have gone through a really shitty experience, I'm sure you guys have been through this so many times. Individuals come up to you and say, hey, I know you had so-and-so on, or hey, when you guys opened up about this part of your life, like Dan, when you came on and people, you were talking about you and some of the struggles or the things that you went through as a kid and why you are the way you are, the amount of outreach we got being like, holy shit, I've never heard Dan Holloway talk about things like that. And I said, it's because if you make someone feel like they can fucking talk to you honestly and be vulnerable about it, you can help others. It's that simple.
It is. And plus with podcasts, you get to meet people that you would never, ever get to meet in real life.
Right.
And you get to talk to so many people. Speaking of which, breaking news, Gilbert Godfrey just died.
Oh,
and,
shit. Really?
He was on the show. He was actually on our show a few months ago. And was one of our favorite guests. I remember after that show, you and I were like, God damn, dude, he's awesome. Like, that was one of the funnest episodes we've ever had on this show.
Where did you see that?
It is
his official Twitter.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it literally just came through right now. But he was on the show. How long ago was that, Bob?
It like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should have never got on that subway this morning.
Fuck, dude. nailed it. He would have loved that joke, by the way.
Yeah, he would have.
He's a dirtbag.
He said some horrible things about Jesus last time.
Yeah. He was that guy. That was such a fucking fun show.
Yeah.
With Gilbert Godfrey.
He's aggressive, man. Yeah.
Oh, he is. But it's a blast, and it's all in good fun. And, like, dude, he was in on the bit and everything else. And said he was battling a long illness, which you would never know. I mean, he destroyed for an hour on this show. Mm. It was fucking awesome. But that's back to your, you know, meaning behind podcasts and everything. Okay. That's why, like, dude, you get to meet all these amazing, interesting people. And, you know, instead of reading about some obituary that somebody else wrote, we got to sit down with them and chat for an hour and a half. And then that goes back into everything else that you do as well. I'm sure just by sitting down and chatting with these people who are suicidal, you know, for an hour, hour and a half, will probably change their lives.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm the individual where, like, if you DM me, like, I'll take the time. Like, I know we all have lives, but that's the purpose of what I do. I'm not this persona where I put my shit out on Instagram. And like, this is something I've been going off about lately. So tangent here with me, this whole fucking idea that Instagram and everything else is like who people are, and it's not. And when you find out the real who people are behind the scenes, it gives you a massive picture. And I'm exactly who I say I am. And what everything I do comes with receipts, and I don't mess around. If people reach out to me, like we did a show and we had an outpouring afterwards, we had people reaching out that weren't even my wheelhouse of being able to help, but I will find the help for you. I'm a fucking jewelry company, but at the same time, you would be shocked how much of an awareness company and how many people we've been able to actually get into treatment facilities, get off of homelessness, like just stop the struggle, have the conversation, take some time out of your day to just acknowledge that human beings are struggling. And if you message us, we answer you. We are exactly who we say we are. And we want to help as many people as we can. And this show has given us the platform to do that. Like not only meeting really great individuals, but being able to talk to them differently than maybe other shows have. Like you guys have your way of doing your thing. Every show has their thing. But I find if I'm going to take time out of your day, I want to give value. I want to add value. So I'm going to try to pull something out of you that no one else has. And I'm going to try to make you as vulnerable as possible. People relate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's the website? Because we have the ability to pull it up and just put it on screen. What's your website for your jewelry?
It's brassandunity.com.
Brassandunity.com.
And we're doing... Yeah, we're doing for you guys, we're going to do a code, bros30, and I'll give everyone 30% off.
Fuck yeah. Pop that up, dude. You're going to see a lot of it going to my house.
I like these sunglasses.
Yeah. You make sunglasses
yeah,
too?
Yeah, so we make sunglasses, and we put, we own the patent to have the bullet on anything. So we put the bullets in the temples of the sunglasses, and they're like, they're polarized, they're plated in gold, silver, and rose gold. And then we donate 20% of the proceeds. So we're doing this thing right now, Dan. I think I spoke to you about it before. It's this bracelet here. It's called the Buddy Check Pack. And what it is it's a pack of three of those rope bracelets, and it prompts you to call a buddy, check on them, and have that conversation. Because a lot of times we'll sit down, and especially men, no offense, you guys, you're egotistical as fuck, and you don't want to talk about it when you're struggling. And so sometimes if you just literally throw a paracord bracelet at them and say, hey, this is for you. If you're feeling like you're having a hard time at some point, look down. No, you can call me. I'm the person you can call. It's a unifier and it's a connector. So the Buddy Check Pack is really what we're promoting right now. And we're trying to help as many people feel like they have a community, especially, I mean, fucking The Who said 1 in 100 people right now are suicides. That's civilian. That's not even vets included. Mm. So the fact that society feels that low, We're giving out hundreds of these for free. We're just trying to help people feel like they have somewhere, a community, people that care genuinely about mental health, and they don't want to see you struggle.
Yeah. And, you know, you were talking about it doesn't have to be military. I'm sure the lockdown up in Canada has made people suicidal. I'm being completely dead honest. You know it better than us. Like, we hear stories and we have guests on from Canada from time to time. How bad is it really up there?
Okay. So I reached out to Dan because we're being censored aggressively in Canada. We're using VPNs, we're doing everything, but this is how bad it is. So during COVID, parts of Canada are pushing to put masks back on in Ontario. They're fighting, the mayors right now are fighting to put masks back on kids and everyone else. The mask mandate, just so you're aware, just got lifted a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We just got the right to go back to grocery stores, restaurants, and do all of these things without vax paperwork. So the vax passports were in up until this point. You couldn't leave the country. You still can't. You can't leave the country if you don't have a vax passport. You can't get on a plane within the country. You can't get on a bus in the country. You can't go into a restaurant in the country. And the fact that we can't leave is a major issue. Like, that's in our Charter of Rights. They're encroaching on multiple parts of the Charter of Rights. The individual who wrote the Charter of Rights in 89 is suing the government. There's massive amount of lawsuits, human rights violations going on up here. And now, as of February this year, the new bill C-11 has come in, which covers censorship over social media, the airwaves, Instagram and Facebook now have to pay CBC for them to run their ads. It's state run now. It's state run media, and they actually have affected things like our Instagram so aggressively, we're about to lose it. They've said we are full of hate speech and all of these things, and we're mental health advocates. So if you don't toe the line, this is what happens. They're crippling businesses in Canada that don't agree. There's other veteran companies that have had to shut down in the past couple of weeks because they've basically stopped traffic to go from, like, going to our websites. We can't get news. Like, we can't get it out. We can't push anything out right now. So Canada's, I don't care what anyone says. They want to say that this is right and acceptable. It's not. They're breaking the Charter of Rights in at least 5 different sections. That's not me complaining. That's the reality. The protests, if you donated more than $20, your bank account was seized, which they use the Wartime Act. I mean, you guys talked about all of this before, but it's really fucking bad if you own a business in Canada and you don't toe the line.
Well, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to actually have people there. So let's start with you in this case with the vaccinations and stuff. Are you vaccinated?
I don't talk about that. I'm able to cross the border, so it looks I am vaccinated, apparently.
Okay. If you cross the border and leave, do you need to show paperwork to get back in then?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, like, it seems ridiculous, but sports teams that play in Toronto are not.
Right, right. Like Kyrie Irving and those guys. Yeah.
It's
well, Rogan canceled a bunch of stuff up here because you have to be vaccinated to do anything. You literally have to be vaccinated to go to a restaurant. That stopped this the Friday that just passed. Mm. But we were the last province in Canada to do that. The thing is, they've also made it so pretty much no one up here is taking their masks off. Like, people, they've got Canada so fearful. Like, it's terrifying how fearful this country is. They really believe that the rest of the world is acting like this. We're the only country on this entire planet that the individuals cannot leave freely right now. And we're supposed to be a first world country. I mean, you've seen how Trudeau has been received when he's gone over to do any sort of, was it the United Nations that booed him and had 3 other individuals stand up?
Yeah.
Dan, you would know that.
Yeah,
more than
they,
I would.
I believe, people were just,
they called him a dictator.
A couple of people did that. I think the Chilean guy did, and then somebody got up and walked out. He's a cunt. Everybody knows that. He's also Fidel Castro's son.
He's also running.
Not kidding.
Yeah, and him though. It's the NDP.
Bob, pull up the Fidel Castro fucking Justin Trudeau thing. We're going to talk about it.
We actually did a show about this jokingly, and then once the photos were pulled up,
there's like a good one where there's a picture of his, there we go. That's, put that up on screen and I'll describe what we're seeing. So on the right, the woman looking lovingly at the child, that's, Justin Trudeau's mother. And on the left, obviously baby Trudeau. And then in the middle, you may recognize Fidel fucking Castro. Now word on the street is from the intelligence community is that Fidel Castro had been plowing his mom for a while.
Okay.
Right. And then show the side-by-side picture of them. We'll find that one as well. It's very good. There's one in particular that's really good.
Kelsey, you got a podcast. You know we got some sponsors that pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Two free pillows with a mattress right now. Man, those pillows are just as good as the goddamn mattress. Love them. If you haven't gotten the pillows yet, you might as well get the mattress to go with them. They're both cooling. So they're both about 15 degrees cooler, 15 to 20. I don't know the exact number, and that's just a guess at this point. But it's about 15 to 20 degrees cooler than your room, so you might as well get them combined. I've also got the sheets. I'm a big fan of their sheets. It's kind of like Sean John boxers, where they've got this elastic at the top that says Ghost Bed, and it keeps the sheets on nice and snug. And now I haven't tried the weighted blanket yet, because I don't want to be asleep for 30 years, but apparently that's the jam, and it'll keep you hibernated in there, which is nice. And they got that 40% off bundle package, which is the adjustable base and the mattress. Or if you just want 30% off, type in the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout, and you can fill up your entire cart full of everything I just talked about: pillows, sheets, covers, just the adjustable base, just the mattress if you want. Take 30% off of everything. And then when you check out, there's an option at the bottom that says, would you like to qualify for the 60-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, if you have decent credits. And if you do that with those deals, you can walk out of there with a brand-new bedroom set for about $20-25 a month. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and take advantage of that. Next up, we got hardafseltzer.com. Let's fucking go, fam. Get some 8% seltzer shipped right to your door. OG flavors are still here. So we got the lemon lime, we got the peach, we got the blue raspberry, and we also have the strawberry shortcake. We're going to have some new flavors over the summer. Get the OG ones right now. Best in the business. We appreciate all the feedback. The most overwhelming thing we keep getting about these is how great they taste, and you don't notice the 8%. That was the goal of all of this. That's why it took so long for the product to come out. It's because we were perfecting it, and we're glad you guys love it as much as we do. Get a case shipped right to your house. We ship to 42 states right now. That's easy. Spring is here. Summer's around the bend. Cool off with an 8% seltzer at hardafseltzer.com. Get it today. Last but not least, we got drinkingbros.com/store. Bro Box is out. We got the new fucking half sips on there. Damn it, those half sips are nice. I'm looking at one right now. That's a nice goddamn half sip. I don't know what material that is, but it's the best we've ever had. I've got the fucking pullover version of that, and I'm a big fucking fan of it, dude. We get this. The store is stocked to the brim with all kinds of new stuff. New hats, new flex fits. We got the black on black hats that just came in for Drinking Bros. Go to drinkingbros.com/store today, and there's a deal on glassware as well. We just got in some wine glasses. Peep those out. And we got the candles. The Mexican candles are out. Those are for you guys. It's me, D'Anthony, Lord Hot Dog. Jesse's got a candle. Those are fun. You can get a 4-pack of those as well. Go to drinkingbros.com/store. Of Castro and Trudeau?
Yeah.
That's funny, man.
I mean, it's
terrifying, because he's always, the thing is, the guy's been running the country for this long. He's going till 2025. He's got plans to run with the NDP again. Mm. He runs the country like a dictatorship, and it's state-run media. So we're there. We're genuinely, it's a problem. It's as bad as it gets for a first world nation that's supposed to be a democracy to be. Yeah. In it's concerning. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist or anything, but Canada is bad and people don't realize it. For God's sakes, our government helped murder thousands of babies, and you haven't heard you guys don't even know about it.
Are you talking about the indigenous people?
Yes.
I've done a show on that.
Dan has actually done a show on that. So let me ask you this, just because I'm not familiar with.
Pull that picture up right quick, just for the audience to see. God. Oops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's really fucking identical, isn't it? Yeah. That's nice.
Not just like
terrifying.
It's super weird.
That's a nice thing right there.
That's the same family. Nice. Anyways,
thing right there.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you this because I'm you know, forgive me, I'm unfamiliar with Canadian governments. What is stopping you guys from voting him out, or does that, is Canada not work like that? Is it
so? Okay. So we can call elections differently. Dan probably knows more about my government than I do, but all I do, I'm very aware of is, so last year during the pullout of Afghanistan, which you guys were very aware of, Canada was on a media blackout. So Canada, the media in Canada did not talk about it. There was no acknowledgement of it. I got a call from CBC on the Tuesday before the 27th, before the date. And we were working to assist some Canadians in getting out of the country because Canada had decided they weren't going to send anyone for the people we left. We're just like, fuck it, to stand down. So we did that. And Trudeau called a snap election, which you can do. So he called a snap election during the week of the Afghan pullout. And when the CBC called us to talk about, because if you've done press as a veteran up there, they call certain people to talk about, as you guys do, you go on other shows to talk about things on the media. And I said, they said, we want to talk to Afghan veterans and talk about how angry they are. So they basically want to gaslight the fuck out of you on media. And so I said, this is why I'm angry, because I was in the middle of not sleeping and helping move humans. So I was exhausted. So they got the full weight of how I really felt about the Afghan pullout. And she called me back the next day and said the interview has been canceled because we have been instructed by the current administration to only cover the election, and we are having a media blackout on anything Afghan related. And this is from a CBC journalist. We also found out they only had two people processing all of the Canadian documents of individuals reaching out from Afghanistan to get help. We were able to, because of Americans and British who assisted us, move some high value individuals only because somebody asked for our help, and we had a little bit of resources. But we do know that they've left a ton of Canadians, like they've left a ton of Americans. But he called a snap election last year. And then through, I think it was over the past couple of weeks, Dan, you might know about this, the NDP and the Liberal Party partnered up, which makes our government, I think, basically one party. And now we're trying to vote. I mean, he called a Jewish member of cabinet a Nazi during, I mean, fuck sakes, he's gone blackface. He's done brownface. What is happening? How is this individual supposed to be standing up and representing and calling Canadians who were the most mixed race group I've ever seen during protests, including children, terrorists? This guy, if anybody else spoke like this to its citizens, would be taken out.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Not right. I mean, you're on the slide out of republic status at this point. So typically, you'll see this when there's you'll see some kind of revolution, whatever it happens to be, and then a political establishment develops, and then as things get worse and worse, and one party gets too much control, you'll see what's called a controlled opposition, which is basically the minority party, and they let them get away with a lot of stuff, but ultimately they don't really have any power. And then the last stage is to consolidate all political power and under one thing, right? And that's where they are now. It's what Germany did with the chancellorship in the 1930s. And I don't remember what happened after that, but
yeah,
it's probably worked out fine.
Why do you think everybody ignores this? Just because it's Canada and like the common stereotype
people
is everybody's friendly.
People can't believe it.
I agree. When you hear
about the federal government of a Western country freezing assets for people that donated to a political protest, that is banana republic dictator bullshit. Like,
but
that,
it doesn't seem real. It just doesn't seem real.
No.
Especially,
you know,
out
what
of
it
Canada.
Got crazy. Yeah, last year. Sorry, in. So in, was it 19? So COVID kind of popped up in what, March of 2020? So right before that, I was in China in January, and we were seeing this stuff kind of go off, and we were looking around, and they, you know what China's like, where it's already serious control and issues. And so when we came back, I remember watching the media going, This is going to go off. And I remember saying to my family, because there was talk at that time of saying, like, borders are closing, right? In Canada, we're closing the borders. And I thought to myself, I'm like, they'll close the borders, but like, that's the furthest they can go, like, without a revolt. And I remember saying to my husband, like, they're going to close the borders, but like, they're like, do you ever think they would do something like a passport? And I was like, I remember saying, no, there's no chance There's no way Canadians would stand for that. There's no way. But then when I watch the media progress from 2020 of January to now and seeing how they've done it, it is like looking at a playbook. It is the fear-based mentality where they have made individuals so terrified. Like, you guys in the States have Fox and CNN. You have each party. We have one. And it always just sits there and counts the deaths, the horrific. And they shove it down people's throats. And they do it so much that all of a sudden, it's such a slow drip. And then all of a sudden, by the time they go, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make it so that five-year-olds have to wear masks. We're going to make it so that kids under the age of five have to be vaccinated with an experimental vaccine. By the time they go to do that, it's over. Look at the way they reacted with the protest, man. Most Canadians who were in Ottawa opposed it. It was the everyday people. It was the individuals who were losing businesses and losing families and losing everything. We brought our kids to the protest. We had bouncy castles. We legitimately were the most peaceful protest you have ever seen. You guys can't go 24 hours without shit burning down. Mm. We were out there for 5 weeks honking horns. Like, that's the worst you got from us. And we were deemed as terrorists. And then they came and gassed people and trampled people and made it okay. And then out of nowhere, before Rebel News popped it off, I get a private message from someone saying, look at this WhatsApp chat. I look at it. I call a friend and he goes, yeah, I just leaked that. It is a WhatsApp chat of the RCMP bragging about stomping people. It's got badge numbers. They're bragging and talking about their jackboots and save them for us. Like, what country that is supposed to be up there with the rest of them acts like this and then thinks it's okay to treat its human beings like this? The fact that anybody's on board with this, this is why I'm being banned from social media right now. This is why I'm being silenced. I've told Dan, this is why, because I will stand there and I'll fight for this country. And that's why I'm still in it. I'm only in it because I don't want to lose it. And if we all bailed, if everyone who had a voice bailed in Canada, we would lose it. I mean, we've already lost our schools. I've told Dan, they've taught the SOGI program since 2018, sexual orientation and gender identification from kindergarten and up in Canada. They started in Ontario. They teach it now in British Columbia. And when you bring it up, the teachers look at you like you've lost your mind. So trust me, we've lost rights. We're losing everything. Canada needs to be fucking shook because this is not our country.
Yeah. You know, what's weird because here in America, we don't hear anything about it really. We'll hear the Ottawa trucker story was the biggest that it got here.
I mean, you have to go look for it.
You really have to look for it because otherwise you just think of, oh, it's polite Canadians. They're just doing the polite thing. But you guys were in lockdown for what, close to 2 years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we just, like I said, restrictions just ended for us last week. We had to show a doc, like we had to have an app on our phone that every time I pull it up, it's got a QR code. You have to show it everywhere. And then you have to show ID to match it. So it's the reality is this stuff and like, it's not okay. And anytime you start saying that somebody is not worthy of medical care, we were turned away at the hospital. We were turned away at clinics. We were turned away when my kid's not vaccinated. We were turned away when he was sick. No hospitals wanted to take you. They were turning kids away from literal medical clinics when they needed help. So they're still doing that shit. It's been reported, but it's also been taken down since. And if you post about it, oh man, now with the new law that started in February, it's over for you.
So how do you get Trudeau out of there and who is going to go up against him to change your country?
Dan, is it Pierre that's running? You know more of the politics than I do. There's a couple individuals. Yeah.
Pierre, but it's I think it might be beyond that point now, right?
Yeah, feels that way.
It's no one's ever voted themselves out of tyranny before, not once in the history of human beings. So I wouldn't expect it's going to happen here. And one of the issues is people are mostly like you, just they can't believe that this is happening. And I think for a lot of people who are in positions to affect some kind of change about it, they are now deluding themselves. This can't possibly be true, because if you admit it's true, then you're on the hook for it. You're responsible to do something to stop it. And I don't think anybody's got the fucking balls to do it, frankly. none of these none of these fuck-faced politicians in America or in Canada have done a goddamn thing about it. I mean, this is the most pathetic display of vacuum leadership that I've ever seen in my life, between the U.S. and Canada especially.
And I've said this, and like my in-laws came to me and they said, are you ready to lose everything you've built over this? Because that's what's happening, right? Because that's the reality.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. Because my company's being hit. My social media is being hit. Everything's being hit. Brass Immunity is not loved right now in Canada by the government. So, you know, we associate with other individuals who are free thinkers and loud and making noise and letting people understand that we're not okay with this. It's not okay. We're going to be loud. And they said, are you ready to take the responsibility of what that looks like in terms of how that's going to affect your company, how that's going to affect what you built, how much censorship you get, all of that? And I said, I have to be. Why did I build a platform if I'm not willing to take what's coming from it? I mean, for God's sakes, I stood up once. I'm not afraid to do it again. And I think a lot of the vets in Canada feel the exact same way. We have the same issues in Canada with the military, right? We've got friends that are having to leave because of vaccine passports. They can't stay in the military. These are like 20-year people. These are special operators. And trust me, we don't have a military like you guys have. You know, we don't have the capacity you do. And when you see the amount of people that are having to be pushed out, or the amount of individuals who have gotten it and are young, and they're young males, and now they have to leave because they've got myocarditis. And I know a fuck ton of those who were officers, and these were supposed to be great leaders, and they could have been, but they can't stay because now they're ill, or because the government won't allow them to stay. And when the government asked for the military to come in and clear up the protests, they said no, because you turn your military on your country, that's a different thing.
Yeah, and it feels strange here to still be talking about COVID, but recently in the last 48 hours, Philadelphia has gone back to mask indoors. There's been a surge, I guess, in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco, it says here, for some reason.
It's weird.
Yeah, Omicron, zero deaths, they're saying, but there is a surge. But, you know, there was some footage.
That's like changing the seasons.
Yeah.
And that's when people get sick.
Yeah. And there was a video out of China. Did you see that yesterday?
That's bad.
Fucking A, dude. So they're under lockdown. People are throwing themselves out windows and shit like that. Yeah. And then
they're starving to death.
And then screaming out the windows.
And also jumping out the windows.
Yeah.
Like to their deaths.
I saw that footage last night and I was like, is this really going on? Because you don't hear anything out of China either, to be honest.
They keep it pretty tight over there media-wise, but they're on the brink right now.
There's a lot of seeing going on over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of revolutionary talk going on over there. It should be pretty interesting to see how it's handled. I mean, China's made the decision historically that to take the easy route, right? Uh-huh. Obviously, a dictatorship is a lot easier to manage than any kind of republic that allows people to have a say in their day-to-day lives. Even feudalism, which is what we're getting back to in the West now, is aimed at that. But there's it always ends the same way. It's just a matter of how long it takes for people to get sick of that shit and murder everybody.
There are reports of papering over doors right now in China. So like if you exit, it'll see that you've ripped, and the police will then come into your home and arrest you.
Really? Yeah. Hey, Bob, can you pull up that footage? Sorry to interrupt you, Kelsey. Can you pull up footage so we can show that video from China last night?
I mean, you're talking about the video where the people start beating the Christ out of all the Chinese police officers? Because there's a video of that from this
morning.
I have
not
as well.
Seen that, no.
Yeah.
I saw the ones from... they look like apartment buildings almost.
There were some like COVID enforcement officers that came by.
Why are they taking pets?
I have no idea, but they're taking people's pets. They're putting them in bags out on the streets. Like there's bags of just cats, half dead, half alive, just all over the streets right now. There's videos coming out. There's individuals smashing, like because they're starving to death. They've gone out of their houses, risked it, and start smashing. Like it's we have people in Taiwan and things like that, and it's getting ugly quickly.
And this is because of COVID.
Yeah, this is COVID lockdown is what they're telling them. It's COVID again. Yeah.
But okay. It's not because of that, right? It's because Taiwan's gotten a little too loose with their revolutionary mm-hmm. talk, and Hong Kong has gotten a little too loose with their revolutionary talk. And yeah, it's a global event to go fuck up Hong Kong or Taiwan to get them back in line, but not so much when you go into the cities or hinterland of China and fuck up your own citizens, especially if you can control the media, right?
Yeah.
So they're just trying to fucking smack people around. That's it. This is a mafia dude intimidating somebody.
Well, it doesn't feel like anything different than Canada from what you've just described for the last hour.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just a matter of degree, right? A matter of how much you're willing to get away from. There's a good quote. There's a reason you separate the military and police. One fights the enemy of the state, and the other serves and protects the people. When the military becomes both, then the enemies of the state tend to become the people. And that is where we are now. We've had all these institutions that protect us be captured by these fucking assholes who want nothing more than to gain more power and propagate their power throughout the next several generations. That's what their plan is right now. And they can't do that if resources are running out and whatever the fuck else they think is happening. So they will fly all the private jets they want and drive all the cars they want, but you got to get an EV, whether you can afford it or not. Mm-hmm. You have to go start eating fucking bugs and shit. Like, this is how these people think. It's just another form of feudalism. Like, in the East, typically what you see, when I say the East, I mean Asia, typically what you see is this flat-out dystopian fucking dictatorship. Same thing in South America. But in the West, throughout all of English history, post-King, but even like from the probably the 11th century on, straight-up feudalism, which means I own all this shit. You can work on it, but I get a piece. You know what I mean?
Right. No, it's basically from Rome on. Like from
the, I mean, it really is, yeah. It's from the fall of Rome on. But yeah, I mean, like formalized. It started a little bit later, but yeah, I mean, even back then, it was the tiers just change over time. Who's the patrician, right? Roman, it's like Roman aristocracy and then Roman citizen and then everybody else for them, right? And they control the whole world. So that's a pretty good fucking dynamic if you're a Roman citizen or a member of the aristocracy. And now we've seen that shift from that sort of stuff where there's bloodlines and stuff, and there's still quite a bit of that, but now it's about political power. It's about the ability to shape and control the world and make it better for you and your people at the expense of everybody else. Mm-hmm. These people are cunts.
Play this video here real quick, Bob, from China. And are they just screaming just to scream? Like, what's the... Or because people are jumping? It's fucking eerie.
Well, it's a form of protest. And they're the drones that are flying around telling them not to sing.
Gotcha.
Also telling them to subdue their soul's urge for freedom or something like that was the quote.
Yeah. Ooh, boy.
Really?
Yeah, I'll find the exact quote. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Well, it's hilarious to everybody who's not living in China, but yeah. Fucking hey, dude.
You all mean it.
Even that guy's voice is dark and ominous, you know? That's cool, Bob.
Man. That's what it sounds like, you know?
Fucking A.
That's a civilization in its death throes.
That's wild.
And we're one as well. Our noises are just different. It's people saying that there's a million genders on Twitter. It's the same noise. That's what I hear when people say that stupid shit.
Yeah.
And this is a recommendation for everybody. Somebody, if you're poking around on the interwebs, spend your time wisely. You know what I mean? Like, there's people out there that you can learn from. There's people out there who you can help. Those are good things. But if somebody's, for example, got pronouns in their bio, go ahead and ignore them entirely. That's not a serious person. They don't exist in reality at all. Like, they exist in the fucking metaverse somewhere. And there's no point in having a dialogue with that person at all.
Yeah, I just saw that Demi Lovato... Instagram post where she said a lot of people call me they or them, but I'm still daddy's little girl, and it was like, nah, it doesn't really work like that.
Let's have a cake and eat it too.
Yeah,
the direct quote is the drone appears, you know, with its little loudspeaker or whatever, and goes, please comply with COVID rules, control your soul's desire for freedom, do not open window to sing.
Oh, fuck,
yeah. By sing, I mean scream.
Can we get a? I think I need to text Brittany. We need a shirt that says "Control Your Soul's Desire for Freedom."
Yes,
a little drone on top or something.
Yeah,
put that. Make sure it's just female. tease, you know?
Jesus Christ. This is the worst.
That way we can really break down the demo.
But, I mean, you have it's easy to see something that's super violent, like what's happening in China, and then things that are just regulatory and think that those two things are entirely disparate, both in cause and effect. And that's simply not true, right? Like, it's the way that the Biden administration here in America tried to use regulation and not law, because he knows he can't make law by himself, right? And he knows he can't get anything passed because he hasn't gotten shit passed.
Right.
He knows he can't do that, so he tried to use executive orders and regulations within the fucking federal government at the executive branch to do that. Well, those all got knocked down by the Supreme Court within a matter of weeks, right? Most of them did. and now you're going to see, today, he signed an executive order to ban illegally purchased ghost gun kits. It's already a felony.
Right.
A, and B, you can't executive order law, stupid. That's not something that you're allowed to do. He can't fucking go in and change gun laws at all, right? Not at all. That requires vote from fucking Congress.
We did.
Yeah, but you're not a real country. I mean, frankly,
no, I know.
and you never have been. And I don't mean that as an insult towards you, but it is an insult towards Canada. Like, you guys got it to a pretty good spot, and then in the mid '80s had a Charter of Rights instead of fucking something real. Like, you needed a constitution for your country, and you did a Charter of Rights instead, and with a bunch of vague language. And you made the mistake. Not you, obviously, but Canada made
the
mistake.
No, I blame Kelsey.
I personally made the mistake.
I blame Kelsey.
I don't think you were even alive then, but Canada made the mistake of trusting people in power. And that is a mistake that you cannot ever afford to make at any point in your life, right? Mm-hmm. And it's why they fucking treat you the way they do in school. It's to make an obedient worker who knows that there's going to be fucking swift and severe punishment if you question authority. That's the reason they instill that in you from the very beginning. So, you won't do it, and then two, you get lulled to sleep. We solve problems, and we forget why we had that problem in the first place and what the solution was for. Like, oh, we don't need this solution anymore, and all of a sudden, your fucking house is on fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what these people do. They lull you to fucking sleep, and it's just, right? It's just 10-round magazines. It's just this. It's just fucking wear a mask. It's just get a shot, right? And then all of a sudden, you have nothing left.
Well, they've taken the, they did overnight, they did the assault rifles, I think 2 years ago now. So anybody, they took that long gun hunting rifles, like they've been slowly pushing the arms out as well. So most of Canada, we're not armed, right? And I mean, that's why you guys always have that to fall back on. You guys are an armed society. You guys are terrifying. And I don't, you know, you've got more guns in Texas than you do people. So I think you guys are never going to get to the point in which we will, because it would really, I would have thought that during the protests, there would have been more, or if the police pushed the way they end up doing, I thought there would be more, but I think people were trying to prove the point of like, don't give them any ammunition to fire back. Don't let them, you know, don't give them a reason. And so everyone was really peaceful about it. But what that did is just, you know, eventually it all kind of went away and everyone, they kept pushing. I mean, over Christmas on the media, they announced that they were tracking 33 million Canadian phones through the ArriveCan app and still tracking them. And not a single person said a word. They admitted to mass tracking of individuals and no one said anything. So they go, all right, go a little further. And then they go a little further and they go a little further because no one pushes back. Because if you do, you lose everything. Bank accounts, $20, single moms, bank accounts, mortgages, credit cards, fucked for life. For life. Now they're talking about doing the, what's it called? Social credit system with the banking system in Canada.
Yeah, ESG, yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, not great.
Awesome. Man. Yeah, that's the line.
That means
that's
if the line. So Canada as a country has already established that they're willing to take your money from you. And your ability to move freely if your political opinions vary from theirs, right?
Yeah.
And now they're going to institute a social credit score, which ties every single thing in your life, from your ability to earn money, to store, save money, to invest money, and to spend money on food, for example. It all gets linked back to your social credit score, which means you say something negative about Trudeau on Twitter, and nobody even has to do anything at the government level. The machine itself makes it so that you can't buy food today. You understand?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up. And that's a reason for Canadians to start doing whatever the fuck they want. Like, every single chance you get to exercise some kind of civil disobedience, you need to do it, right? Mm-hmm. If one of these fucking cops shows up and tries to do something, fuck his ass up. Canadian cops, for me, that is the fuck the police kind of situation that everybody talked about was real in this country, but all the data shows it's not. It is happening in Canada. Like, legitimately, old ladies getting trampled by fucking horses and shit like that is happening.
And then they brag about it. They brag about it and they laugh.
If you're a member of the RCMP and you're not doing something actively right now to fight against this, or putting your badge on the fucking table and going home and not enforcing these dictatorial laws, then you're a fucking cunt. Big time.
Man, I was unaware that all this was happening up there, Kelsey. It's been fascinating having you on the show today to chat about it. Jesus Christ. It's been great. It's been eye-opening because I honestly had no idea that any of this was going on. The trucking thing was kind of the tipping point for me, where I was just like, maybe Canada's not as fucking nice as we thought it was. And then you come on and just completely blow the doors off. I mean, Jesus. A QR code to get on a fucking bus or a train?
Yeah. A restaurant too.
Like a restaurant.
If you want to sit down anywhere, you can go to a coffee shop and buy coffee and stand there, but you can't sit down unless you have it.
That
ended on Friday. But like I said, listen, I'm not, the reason I'm bringing this stuff up and trying to talk about it is because if we don't, it's not going to change. And then companies like mine who are based here, who are trying to do good things and trying to help individuals, we're going to be wiped off the face of the fucking earth. So I'm refusing to allow that. And I'm refusing to lie down and say that, fine, you can take my company. Not doing it. I fought for this country once. I'll fight for myself again. And I'll fight for those around. And I'm sorry it seems so negative, but we have to have these discussions, and it has to be possible for us to get information out. People say that they're not doing it. I'm sorry. There's a bill that came in February of this year. They completely blanketed it. This is not me saying I'm shadow banned. Oh my God. No, motherfucker. I will show you banned. I will show you what it looks like when they attack your website. I will show you what it looks like when you stand up for simple things. The right to go somewhere, the right to leave your country, the right to not have your child vaccinated, the right to not put a mask on your kid, the right for me to be the person I'm supposed to be allowed to be in a free country is gone. And so we need to change the conversation. And I know shows like yours are the ones leading that and doing that. And I'm just grateful that you guys could give me a little bit of a platform to do that.
No, we appreciate you coming on today. Now's the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who'd you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I mean, my husband. I hate saying it, but it's true. Okay. He's the CEO of Atlas Neck Brace, and he comes from the Supercross world, and he taught me everything about business and everything about being an entrepreneur. And he was the one who was like, hey, you want to do this? Let's do this. Put all the eggs in one basket. And so, yeah, I give it to him.
Okay. Now tell everybody the name of your site again and what the promo code is.
No worries. Thank you. I appreciate it. So just again, we donate 20% of the net proceeds to different organizations like Heroic Hearts, Vet Solutions, Honor House, Warrior Angel Foundation, Four Seasons, Kirstie Ennis Foundation. So we donate all of that. But also, if you want to find anything, it's brassandunity.com. We ship all over the world. And for the show, we're giving you guys a code. It's bros30. It gets you 30% off. And then when you sign up for the email list, you also get another 20%. So when you jump over there, you know that you're supporting vets, first responders. And then the Brass and Unity podcast, we're kind of everywhere. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on all of the different platforms you listen to. And we've got our 100th episode coming out this week with Alexander Ludwig. I'm super excited for that one. That should be a good one. And that's everything is just Brass and Unity.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll go to brassandunity.com, promo code BROS30 for 30% off there to help Kelsey out. Great guest. The chat is lit up with you today. Everybody's like, dude, you got to have her back on. I agree. This was an unbelievably eye-opening episode because I had no idea any of this was going on in Canada. To this extent, at least. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your time and best of luck up there. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone. first and foremost, our title sponsor, OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you an extra $35 off at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. From USDA certified tender steaks to burgers and more, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience, guaranteed to secure your spot as dad's favorite. Shop OmahaSteaks.com and give dad the legendary heartland quality he deserves. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Here's what I love about Omaha Steaks. It's easy to use. Shows up right at your house in a huge styrofoam cooler full of dry ice, even in the hot, hot state of Texas down here. It keeps it nice and cool. Shit, mine, I was gone for 36 hours, dude, and it was still great when I returned. Ton of options over there for Omaha Steaks as far as delivery goes. Now, obviously, the steaks are to die for. The fan favorite is the filet mignon, which has earned the coveted distinction of USDA certified tender, and their all-new smash burgers are built for the grill, but they also carry mouth-watering chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, an easy to prepare comfort food. My wife loves the apple tart desserts they have over there. And each steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand cut by master butchers. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. They're a family owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. This Father's Day, give dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit OmahaSteaks.com for a guaranteed perfect gift that delivers legendary quality. And for an extra $35 off, use the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. It is OmahaSteaks.com and an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Just go ahead and see this site for details. Brother!
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.